Good morning to you, 99.3 Nigeria Info. My name is Wemimo Adewuni. Dr. Adegboye Galabi has heard your cry. I have brought him back to the studio for you. Good morning, Doctor.
Good morning, Wemimo. Good morning, listener.
What you did wasn't fair. So, I'm just joking. So, after the show last week, I mean, my DMs were on fire. Apparently, a lot of people who couldn't call in, but who also have a lot of issues with their site, bombarded me like, boo, boo, boo. Hello, I'm not a doctor. So, I mean, I can't practically help like that. So that's why the doctor is back here. Last week, we looked at the World Glaucoma Week. That was happened last week. It started from the 6th of March, ended on the 12th of March. Yeah, and the theme for the year is Christ Critical. When I think about it, I just think you better take care of your eyes. Mm-hmm. And I'm talking to myself too. The world is bright. Save your sight. As bad as things are with Nigeria's economy, you still want to see, right? So if you can avoid some things, if you can prevent some things, the best time to do it is before it gets totally out of hand. Mm-hmm. Last week, Dr. Adegboye Galabi, who's here with me, of the Ophthalmological Society of Nigeria, Lagos State Branch. He came in here about halfway through the show, no thanks to Lagos traffic. So he's back here for the full hour so that you can have your questions with him. So if you're 40 and above, you should be paying more attention to your sight, like we told you last week. When was the last time you ran an eye test? Some of you have never even visited an eye doctor before, and that's alarming. Now, one of the data we gave you last week is that glaucoma is the second leading cause of blindness in the world. And according to the World Organization, this accounts for 8% of all blindness, affecting an estimated 3.1 million people globally. Now, glaucoma is also estimated to be responsible for the blindness of 80 million people in the year 2020. 80 million people went blind from glaucoma in 2020, and also has been projected to cause blindness to 111.8 million people globally by the year 2040. That's a huge number.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's why a whole week was dedicated to create awareness about glaucoma. The second week in the month of March, every year has been dedicated for that purpose. So we create awareness and put spotlight on glaucoma as the leading cause of preventable irreversible blindness worldwide. So it is preventable, however it is also irreversible, and that's why a whole week has been dedicated for public awareness, for people to take time out to go and get their eyes screened, so that if it is there, we can pick it early. You know, the problem with glaucoma is usually at the very early stage, it is without symptoms. Mm-hmm. So a lot of people are out there walking about, probably having the disease, but unaware. In fact, from a figure given, about 20 to 30% of people that have glaucoma are actually aware. Another figure said almost 85% of people in developing world that have glaucoma are not aware. So the problem is actually real in this part of the world, the developing world.
So they suddenly go blind without warning.
Quite a number will come in, and the type of vision they have is more or less, what we can classify as blindness, because it's exploratory. They have to be led, they have to be helped. They can practically not do anything by themselves any longer with the level of vision, residual vision that they have left. So practically they can't work, they can't, probably they can just take care of themselves, minimally in a familiar environment. Mm-hmm. But for them to go out there and work and do other things, if you can, but by the time that happens, it doesn't affect them alone, it affects other family members.
Absolutely, so who might have depended on them before them.
Absolutely.
Because you might just lose your job, your business
yes,
suffers.
Absolutely. Then somebody must be dedicated to take care of them. What happens to that person's schooling, to that person's work and all that?
Hey.
So it has a far-reaching effect, not just on the patient alone, but on the immediate family, on the community, and of course on the nation at large.
So I don't know about you guys, but when you hear, and that's what rings in my head, preventable but irreversible.
Yeah.
That sounds like some red alarm going off in my head. What's the cause of glaucoma?
Well, good question. Basically, for the primary glaucomas, which are among the most common form, we can't say this is the cause. We don't know the cause of those primary glaucomas. And basically what we know about them, we know what are the predisposition, the risk factors, you know. And we have one that we call primary open angle glaucoma that appears to be quite common in this environment. Mm. We know the risk factors for primary open angle glaucoma, and that includes age, somebody above the age of 40.
So as you're celebrating and cutting the cake, I'm 45, pay attention.
Yes, you are. One of the things you are at risk is of developing is glaucoma. Then secondly, people of African descent, that's also a risk factor. Mm. Then thirdly, if you have a family history of glaucoma, either first degree relative or even extended family history. For first degree relative, your risk of developing glaucoma is almost like times 10. If you have a first degree relative, either a child, a parent, you know, or a sibling, you're almost, you know, times 10, your risk of developing glaucoma. Hmm. Then, of course, extended family members too that have glaucoma also increase your risk. Then aside from family history, if you are short-sighted, people that have myopia, they're also at higher risk of developing primary open angle glaucoma. Hmm. Then people whose intraocular pressure is elevated, and you can only know if your intraocular pressure is elevated when you have it evaluated or assessed or checked or measured.
Yeah,
so those are the risk factors. There are other risk factors, thin corneas, you know, diabetes, but those ones I mentioned earlier, the first five I mentioned, i.e. Age above the age of 40, race, African descent, family history, raised intraocular pressure, and if you are short-sighted, those five conditions confers very high risk on somebody, the likelihood of someone developing glaucoma.
Let me ask you a tough question. Is there a herbal cure for glaucoma? I mean, have you heard, maybe certainly that would not be offered in the hospital, but have you heard testimonies? You know, this is Nigeria. I mean, Lagos, we have a lot of stuff in bottles.
In fact, surprisingly, a patient was in my office yesterday.
He had a cure?
No, in the sense that he was asking me exactly the same question.
He mentioned
quite a number of things. Ojumimo, Foju, all sorts of names.
Ojumimo.
I mean, Fojumo, clean the eye, something like that. Something that will clean your eye. They have various form of folly names for those medication. I was asking the doctor, what do you think about those traditional medications? Can they work for my glaucoma? Unfortunately, this patient has advanced glaucoma and it's been swimming for a while. But one way or the other, you know, patient, naturally, you can't blame them.
Yeah, tired.
And not only that, they want solution to the problem.
The permanent solution.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, unfortunately, this man, the vision has really gone down. I mean, severe visual impairment because of glaucoma. So, Baba is really worried. So, a lot of suggestion here and there. And somebody brought those items to him.
Hey.
So, he now came in yesterday to ask
me. Did he bring them?
He didn't. And I've seen quite a number of patients that, you know, ask similar questions. But, like, for me, I'm an orthodox practitioner, so I can't say a yes or a no to that, you know. But what I know about glaucoma are the conventional medications available. So we have those conventional eye drops that we can use. Sometimes we can offer surgical treatment as well. Not cure. I won't use the word cure. We can't even use cure for glaucoma. You know, all we are doing in the management of patients with glaucoma, we want to reduce their intraocular pressure and then halt the progression of the disease at whatever stage they are presenting to us. You know, so basically those are the things. We will give them eye drops, we can give tablets sometimes, like I said, we can offer surgery sometimes. But like I said, you know, I cannot say categorically those things don't exist because I don't know about them. And so it will be wrong on my part to condemn them. But at the same time, you know, the challenge of those drugs in terms of even traditional medicine, I know now conventional medicine in this part of the world, how do we integrate traditional eye care into the conventional, and then we can regulate, we can modify, we can ensure that whatever has been given to patients have undergone the right
tests,
trials, and all that to confirm, one, they are efficacious, that they are effective, and also confirm that they are safe
and the right dose.
Yes. I mean, of course, we are looking at safety and effect, whether they are effective. Mm. And that's what happens with all drugs. Before a drug is administered to any patient, the safety must be confirmed, and then that it is effective also must be confirmed. And when we talk about whether it's effective or not, we talk about the dosing and all that.
Yeah.
All that is under that. So like I said, I can't say categorically, I mean, they are working or they are not working. But by virtue of my training and what I'm exposed to, we give patients those known, well-established medications. And like I said, we can offer surgery. Sometimes we can even do lasers, you know, as part of management of patients that have glaucoma, all in a bid to reduce the intraocular pressure and halt the progression of the disease. We cannot reverse the damage that the disease has done to the patient's eye already.
Can we just go home? Because all of this stuff, man. And like I told you guys last week, this is personal to me, and I'm listening with awe because I'm like, so this is what would have happened to me if I did not find out in time. So this is personal. When I'm talking about glaucoma, I'm thinking, oh my goodness, thank God I checked my eyes and I discovered in time, right? Otherwise, I don't know. You should imagine now. How do I do my work? You know, and this is real. For someone called last week and shared his he almost cried. You know, now he has to be held by the hand. His business suffers. People take advantage of him and his business because they know he can't see them. They are hiding, and and Nigerians take a lot of people, not just Nigerians, human beings like to take advantage of others when they can. Now, one more before I go onto the phone lines. Who do you offer surgery to? Because when people hear the surgery, because we know that for cataracts and some other things, you do surgery. And in the same breath, you say you're not curing me. So why are you cutting my eyes open?
Good question. The indication for surgery, when it comes to glaucoma, basically has to do with patients whose disease is still progressing. The disease is still progressing despite all your other medications, medical care. So take, for example, there are some patients, I mean, obviously want to reduce the intraocular pressure. You place patients on eye drops. You can even give them what we call maximum medical therapy. And despite that, the intraocular pressure is just not coming down. There are some patients like that. And once the intraocular pressure is not coming down, what will happen naturally is that the disease will continue to progress. So for such patients, they are patients who probably want to offer surgery, and the surgery is done also to reduce intraocular pressure. Yes, absolutely. So we create an alternative pathway for the fluid inside the eye that is responsible for intraocular pressure, so that the fluid can egress, can flow out in a gutter out of that space, and then the eye pressure can come down.
So you did get gutter in my eyes?
Then, I mean, I'm using that language. I mean, what you can relate to.
Yeah.
You know, we create like what we call a gutter. So like a pathway, a conduit. So that the fluid can egress, can come out of that space, and then the intraocular pressure can come down. Not only that, for children that have glaucoma.
Yes,
we have what we call congenital glaucoma. Children are born with it. So we have some, you know, defect inside the eye structure that could lead to poor, you know, production, affecting the production and the drainage of that fluid responsible for the intraocular pressure. So you can imagine if a child is born with glaucoma and you want to keep that child on eye drops for a lifetime, that might be impossible. And sometimes for this type of congenital glaucoma, the conventional eye drops and therapy might not work.
Why?
So, I mean, because of there are some abnormalities related to this type of glaucoma inside the eye. So for such type of glaucoma, congenital glaucoma, the mainstay of treatment for most congenital glaucoma is surgery.
So how do you, I mean, I'm just thinking, a parent who's just had a baby, you're not checking the eye for glaucoma. Usually they check for jaundice. That's the only thing I know they check in the baby's eyes at the hospital. So how do you know if a child has glaucoma?
Well, surprisingly, for children that are born with glaucoma, they have some features that are different from natural eyes. That probably, the patient, sometimes the eye will be bigger than usual. Sometimes that part of the eye, the cornea, that is usually transparent and appear black because of the structure behind it, the iris, that part will become opaque, will become white. So you the evidence will be there. Yeah, you know something's amiss with this child. Sometimes the eye might be red and watery and all that. So
we hear some parents then put breast milk in the eyes as correction.
That's quite unfortunate. So if a child is born and the parents or the caregiver they notice all those changes, the next thing they should let the child be evaluated by the right specialist so that we can actually identify exactly what is happening. Is it infection or is it likely to be a congenital glaucoma? So it's wrong because sometimes instead of infection, it could actually be congenital glaucoma.
And the baby could go blind?
Yes, absolutely. If nothing is done, if intervention is not undertaken as soon as possible, that's unfortunately that could happen.
Let me drink some water. I'll just go to the phone lines. 0700-993-993-993. If you've never taken this seriously, I hope that 2 weeks back-to-back of conversation on glaucoma is enough awareness for you.
Absolutely.
To go to the hospital and stop debating whether you should go or not and stop doing self-evaluation. Don't forget, it's preventable, but non-reversible.
Yeah, what is preventable is the blindness. We can prevent blindness from glaucoma. We may not be able to prevent the disease ab initio from developing, but if we pick it early and manage properly, then we can save the patient's sight.
All right, I'm on the phones now. 0700-993-993. Oh god, look at the lines. Good morning. Hello,
good morning, Wemimo.
Good
this
morning,
Joma.
Thanks for calling.
Thank you so much for creating this awareness, because like personally my mom has been battling with this glaucoma for over 10 years now. The doctor said, it is preventable but irreversible. You know, after when we noticed that my mom had it, we all her children, we had to go for that test, you know.
Yeah.
And since then, you know, they put us on the test yearly. That, okay, since you people, your eyes are okay, your eyes are perfect, that you will be coming for yearly
checks,
review of the eyes. So it's important. People should just learn this thing.
Yeah.
That it doesn't take anything. It's not something that is not like death sentence.
Mm.
But at least it is easier when somebody notices it and start treating it.
Absolutely.
Since 10 years, my mom is perfectly okay. Even she has appointment next week Wednesday on the 23rd. You know, so it's very, very important, and people should help their family members too.
Thank you very much for calling.
Thank you for the advice.
Yes.
Good. And I'm happy about one thing, really. Last week and this week, people are calling in.
Yeah.
I have the condition. I mean, yes.
There's something to hide.
Yes, absolutely. Shame. Absolutely. Which is good, which is what we're trying to achieve with this awareness.
Yeah. Good morning. Hello.
Hello, good morning.
Thank you for calling.
I'm calling from Ujedu. Thank you for the awareness by the doctor. My question, I want to ask a question, and I want to know if night blindness could result in glaucoma, because I know someone who started with night blindness. So it's only in the night she wasn't able to see until later on during the day. The person doesn't even see except his outside where it's very bright or it's he has enough sunlight and all. That's my question.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for the question. Night blindness, technically we refer to that as nyctalopia. It's a symptom of several eye conditions. One common one in this environment, we call it retinitis pigmentosa. Quite common, we see it. And this disease is also progressive and actually not reversible. Now, this boy's rare.
You see all these non-reversible things?
It's rare.
It's rare.
Yeah,
okay.
So most patients with this condition usually will start with night blindness, but gradually, you know, start affecting their vision during the day. So nyctalopia on its own, or night blindness, is not really a symptom of glaucoma. However, the retinitis pigmentosa that I mentioned, which classically could present with nyctalopia, one of the ocular associations of this condition is glaucoma. So when a patient develops retinitis pigmentosa, they also have a high chance of developing primary open-angle glaucoma.
So they should be checking for
glaucoma. So if a patient has nyctalopia as a result of retinitis pigmentosa, we also want to evaluate...
When you use our language, you mean if a patient has
night blindness. Yes, night blindness. We usually also want to evaluate them on a regular basis to see if they could develop glaucoma during the course of their disease.
Right. Yeah. But is this night blindness, is it manageable?
It's a symptom. I mean, it's a symptom, difficulty in seeing at night, you know. So obviously, like I said, depending on the cause, one of the common causes, the one I mentioned, and like I said, this condition on its own, we don't have any definitive treatment for it.
Okay.
Yeah, we don't. However, like I said, it's rare, and sometimes too, the disease progression may actually stop at very early stage, and that would be it for some patient. Well, for some patient, unfortunately, it could progress to poor vision up to, you know, blindness.
And there's nothing that can be done about
it? We don't really have any treatment for it, you know, that condition. There's no
Hello, sorry about that. I wish I had a magic wand, you know, I was just say, oh, fix it. Good morning, hello?
Hello.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome, what's your name?
Yes. That was 2010, I was sick somehow then. I spent almost a year in the hospital.
Yeah.
But before that sickness, I had a very sharp eyes and everything. When I came back, 2011, up till now, if I see, it looks as if I'm seeing with one side of the eyes.
Yeah.
I try using glasses. But if I use it for a week, it will correct me. If I don't use for a week, it will come back again. But within a week, since 2 weeks you've started this program, I noticed that if I don't close one eye, I will not be able to read. Or even see something. Please, I want to know. Hope this is not symptom of
glaucoma
we are discussing. Please, I want to know.
All right. We'll give a response to that. As far as my name is Wemimo Adewunle. Stay here. Don't go away.
Infomercial. 99.3 Nigeria Info.
Welcome back to the show. This is 99.3 Nigeria Info. We're still having a lot of awareness around glaucoma. With these few points of mine, I hope that I'm able to wake you up to go have your eyes checked. Not just for glaucoma, because some other things might be hiding there. But if you don't check, you would never know. Dr. Adegboyega Alabi has obliged me 2 weeks in a row. Thank you very much for being here. So I'll take a few of your comments from social media. Let's go to Facebook now. Abayomi Black Caesar Dawodu says, what's the cause of eye floater? And is there a cure for it? What's eye floater?
Yes.
You would know, right?
Yes, absolutely. We have this symptom we call floaters, whereby the patient will see tiny objects in their field of vision, floating in their field of vision. You know, either the object could be like a dot, could be like a worm, could be circular, could be in various shapes. So we call them floaters. These actually are symptoms of particles in the eye cavity that are floating, you know. And is usually as a result of change in the content of the cavity of the eye that we call the vitreous cavity. This cavity is filled with a gel-like material, gel.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes with what we call liquefaction, whereby this gel transforms to clear fluid, they could form these particles floating inside their eyes. So, and because of the constituent, the makeup of that material, and this particular floating materials will cast shadow on their retina. And they will see it. They will see it in their field of vision.
I see there's something in front
of
them.
Yeah, so sometimes you will see them trying to get
catch
it off and all that.
Mm.
But it's actually inside the cavity of the eye. That's the most common cause of floater, what I just explained now. We could have other possibilities. So, really, floater on its own, like I said, usually like it's a degenerative condition of the vitreous gel. It could be associated with aging. Elderly people with aging, one can develop that, what we call liquefaction.
Okay.
You know, I could develop those floaters, and then one can see. Sometimes people that are short-sighted, because they also experience some level of degeneration inside their eyes, they will also experience that liquefaction and see the floaters. What I would say, on its own, most times, floaters, it could be disturbing, it could be irritating, and could constitute a nuisance.
Yeah.
But on its own, it's not really threatening. It doesn't threaten one sight.
But does it resolve itself?
Most often no, but with time most people will get accustomed to it, you know. But what we always advise people that have these symptoms, you should be properly checked, so that if there are other associated sight threatening changes, we can identify and manage and prevent you from losing your sight, because that will happen. Apart from floaters that occur because of the degeneration, other things could happen.
Yeah,
there could be separation of the gel from where it is attached. Sometimes when it is separated, it could pull on the retina and lead to a break or a tear or a hole. And that could be a precursor for developing what we call retina detachment. So it's important, if you are seeing floaters, please be properly evaluated so that we can see if you have any of these other associated things that could affect your vision later. But like right. I said, for most people, when we evaluate them, we'll really see nothing, and we just encourage them, reassure them, and with time they get used to it. But please, if you have not been checked, be properly checked.
I mean, for anything going on with your eyes, the first thing you should do is to have it checked.
Yes.
Just to be sure and rule out every possibility.
Absolutely.
Daudu Balogun here on Facebook says, please, I can see from far, but I can't read. You mean you can read or you can't read anything close to me? When I went to General Hospital, I was given glasses and eye drop. It says the name here. After I explained to the doctor that my father went blind because of glaucoma before he died. Please, is this one of the signs? So what were you told at the General Hospital? Were you checked for glaucoma? I mean,
but what he described is classically a symptom of refractive error. He said he could see what is far,
but he can't read something close.
Is,
so, it's long-sighted.
So it's long-sighted. Yeah. Hypermetropia is long-sighted. So that usually should be amenable to appropriate spectacle prescription.
Yeah.
But having said that, you still need to be properly evaluated. It could be an ominous sign of other, you know, sight-threatening condition.
Mm.
So apart from just waving his refractive error, you should be properly checked. Refractive error, you'll be given glasses. If there are other things, be identified and managed accordingly.
I see a trend from last week and the feedback I've gotten also on my social media DM. Yeah. So I see some people go to hospitals, some private hospitals, some government hospitals. I want to assume that the reaction, the feedback they got from the hospital was quite dismissive. There is no follow-up plan. Nobody tells you, this is what we found out, and this is what you're supposed to do next, and this is when you should come back. So some of them go to the hospitals, they get not too clear, feedback from the doctor, and they just tell them, so after Musha has lost hospital, I've gone to the hospital. So they go about their lives as if nothing has happened. I asked you last week, is this a problem with the medical doctors? Is there a problem with the way this work is done? Because if he's been to the General Hospital and he still doesn't know what is wrong with him, I don't know what to say.
Well, he is going to be... We are not talking to the patient, so we don't know exactly what transpired. So, yeah. I mean, we can't make any conclusion, really. But depends, I mean, who saw him? Where he went, who saw him? I mean, we don't know.
Maybe went to the general outpatient.
We don't know what happened there. We know obviously some of our general hospital have overflowing patients, a lot of challenge and all that, but it will be inappropriate for us to conclude that the doctor just dismissed his symptoms. I mean, of course, most doctors, any doctor that knows his or onion, we obviously take time out to explain things to the patient. So the question is, who attended to him, where he went to? But I mean like I said the other time, if you are seeing an ophthalmologists are well versed, well trained when it comes to the surgical and medical care of the eye. And in spite of our busy schedule, we always want to take time out to interact one-on-one with the patient and let them understand exactly what the issues are. And the only thing I would just tell patient, which I tell my patient, is that you have a right to ask. You have a right
to make
I mean, sometimes, you know, we just assume, but you ask too. I mean, sometimes I'll see a patient, I will explain things to them, they will get out of my office. And if another person interacts with them, they'll be saying something completely different. It do happen sometimes. Yes. So if you are not clear, if you don't understand what the doctor said, ask questions. Take time out.
One of the things I see is that a lot of Nigerians have this, what I call it, reverence, for doctors and other people. So when they get to the clinic, they're almost like this. I've seen reactions from some doctors who've seen me. Some of them are shocked at the way I ask questions. Because the first thing I ask is, what is your name? Because I think I have the right to know
who's saying me.
And then if you're saying this is wrong, how did you come to this conclusion?
Yeah.
The drugs you're giving me, what are they for? At the pharmacies, if you do not now they have a habit of explaining. I ask you again, what is the name of this one? I can see what does it do? What does this one do? What does this one do? If I'm not convinced, I ask you again, because that's why I came to the hospital. But not many people have this habit. You know, they just sit down, wait for the doctor to talk at them. No questions. The doctor is possibly tired. You know, wants you to just leave so you can have lunch. He's probably not eating for the day. And then but the health issue is yours, right? So you should be intentional about asking questions.
There is room for improvement from both sides.
Absolutely.
So we keep improving and see how best we can serve, you know, the public better. But like you said, patients need to be, and that's why we're creating this awareness.
Yes.
So when you see your doctor next time, you need to know what's the diagnosis? What did you find in my eye?
Yes.
What do I need to do? These things, like you said, those drugs, what are they meant for? What are the possible side effects? All those things.
In fact, one of the things I also do before I go to the hospital, so that I don't forget, once I'm having symptoms of whatever, I write them somewhere.
Yeah.
Because I know myself, when I get to the hospital and I see people who are sicker than myself, I begin to feel sorry for them. I almost turn back home. So I write my symptoms down so that when I'm talking to the doctor, I open my whatever, I tell you what I feel, then I keep a record of what you told me the last time, if it's the same thing I'm coming back for. So this, but I, and you know, sometimes you don't see the same doctor, so if you miss something, I would remind you of what that doctor told me the last time. So check it.
I have several patients like that that comes to my office,
you know,
with epistle of questions and all that.
We ask questions.
Absolutely.
But I think you can take one or two from this, because again, it's your health, first of all. The doctor will try, but you also have a responsibility.
Yes.
Right?
Yes, absolutely. It's a shared responsibility.
It's a shared responsibility.
Commitment from...
from both sides.
Yes, absolutely.
Let's take a few more calls. Hello, good morning.
Hello.
Thank you for calling. What's your name?
Am I speaking with Madame Marino?
Speaking, what's your name? Yeah, please go ahead, sir.
Good morning to you. My name is Ernest Azubite. I'm calling from Radio Shady.
Please go on, sir.
My guest in the studio also. Good morning to you.
Good morning.
Because you are doing a marvelous work.
Thank you. Thank you.
It's still true. If I've been listening to you, but the only one that I don't have that opportunity to call. My call is not big.
Please go. Time. Please go ahead, okay? Send me some time. Thank you.
Madame Marino, let me share my opinion.
Okay.
Okay, coming to my question to the guest in the studio this morning. What are those people that are spine attack and spine guarding and other things? Are they, without smoke, affected their sight or not?
Okay, people who fry gari, right?
Yes, because I've seen many people that fry gari so many years. What they are seeking now is that eye problem.
Okay.
And they don't know whether that smoke is affecting them or not. And what can they do to prevent their smoke not entering their eyes?
Okay.
That's my question this morning, Madam.
Oh, thank you very much for calling. Let me take one more to that. Hello, good morning.
Hello, good morning.
Welcome to the show.
Mama T from Ikorodu. I'm a glaucoma patient for 25 years.
I'm not happy that you have glaucoma, but I'm happy
I'm just telling you because my mother has it.
Yeah.
And I got it from my mother. And out of the 10 children, it's only me that had it.
Ooh.
And I went for surgery in Kano. After the surgery, they gave me 6 years that I would do cataract. My cataract is not matured. I came back here in Lagos and do another surgery for cataract. So it's not an easy thing. Eye is a very expensive, and I don't know, you have to take care of it. But I'm managing it for 25 years. And I'm now 74. So I'm thanking God.
I'm happy. And your sight, you can still see very well, yes?
Yes, but I use drugs. I use this Ocuvite.
Eye drugs.
Ocuvite is
capsules.
Okay. Eye supplement. Eye supplement, or they call it.
Yeah.
And then eye drop. So many. I spend money, almost 20 to 25,000 every month. For my eye, but at least I can see. Nobody holds me, I can see. But the only thing is 6 o'clock, I will not go to anywhere. I have glasses, but the glass, the right eye is damaged more than the left eye. So the glasses they did for me is just to manage and read, not to walk, because I cannot walk well with it. But I'm managing it.
Thank you very much for sharing.
There is hope.
Thank you. And we were talking about that during the break, Doctor.
Yeah.
That some people can manage this condition for years.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's good. I mean, that's a good success story about the management of glaucoma. So we're happy to hear that too. I think it should be an encouragement for every of our listener. That, I mean, that's not the end of life.
Yeah.
If you have it, you can be properly managed, and then we can salvage and save your sight, and you can still lead a decent life.
Yeah. So let's talk about the gari, smoke.
Yes, that question. Thank you for the question. Smoking gari relating it to glaucoma, not really. But however, we know what could be the possible effect of those smoke. I mean, the smoke that emanates from
constantly
the eyes, other parts of the body, the lungs, and all that. Nothing really has been documented really about the eye, but it's possible this same individual that is processing gari can develop any other conditions like any other person.
Yeah.
So we may not be able to really relate it to the Gary smoking, you know.
Mm.
But it's good for that person to check his or her eyes regularly, and then we'll see what exactly is happening. Probably we need more research to find out what was the effect of the smoke on the eyes. But for now, not directly.
But whatever job you do, just go check.
Yeah.
Right? Because there isn't even a precise course anyway. Mm. So just go check if something is going on with your eyes. Because my time is running off, please tell my listener where they can find you on social media so they can let me rest.
Okay, yes, thank you.
I know I had to tell him to dig up those social media handles.
Fine, you can find me on Twitter. My Twitter handle is at Dr. Alabi. The Alabi is with a capital L, the D, D-R. D is capital as well, Alabi. Then Goyega with a G, capital G. So that's my Twitter handle, at Dr. Alabi Goyega.
Okay.
Then my Instagram is Alabi_Adegboyega. The Alabi and the Adegboyega, all in small letters.
Okay, Alabi_Adegboyega on Instagram. If you missed it, you can ask me that one. I'll tell you. But don't bother me any further. Go talk to the doctor. I really have to go now. I hope that we've been able to help you to tune your attention again to your sight. I love the theme for this year. The word is bright.
Save your sight. Yeah.
Dr. Adegboyega, Alabi, thank you very much for indulging me.
Thank you so much for having me.
It's a delight. All right. Friday's tomorrow, the last day of the week. Okay, so I'll be here tomorrow by 5 a.m. Let's have a blast again. When I leave you after the news, the immediacy will be here. And after that, the Techers. We've got Sunnyside at 12. We've got Hard Facts at 3. We've got Sports in the evening. We have Talk All Through the Night. This is Nigeria Info. My name is Wemimo Adewuni. Have a good morning.
Nigeria Info. We are more than just radio. Subscribe to our YouTube channel at Nigeria Info FM. Check us out on Facebook at Nigeria Info 99.3. Follow us on Twitter at Nigeria Info FM and on Instagram at Nigeria Info FM Lagos for live updates as it happens. 99.3 Nigeria Info. Let's talk.